CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, is here, my colleague, my co-pilot. And we are turning to space tourism. And our guide is Marcia Smith, who keeps the wonderful site spacepolicyonline.com. And I go particularly to her posting most recently of space tourism. This is monetizing Earth orbit, suborbital, and we can believe this model will work either whether you're on a hotel in orbit or you're on a hotel in orbit of the moon or you're on the surface of the moon. For the next several hundred years, there will be space tourism. If you have to ask the price, goes the proverb, you can't afford it. So we're not worried about price. The idea that this is a thing is amazing. It seems early, but Marcia, congratulations. Your wonderful, neat site lays everything out for me. And I want to start with the one detail we have that looks like an entirely commercial operation. Using a Dragon cruise spacecraft for Earth orbit in September of this year is Inspiration 4. What is that, and what is unique about it? Good evening, Marcia.
Good evening, and thanks so much for inviting me. So Inspiration 4 is a mission that was created by a very wealthy man named Jared Isaacman, who made a deal with another very wealthy man, Elon Musk, who happens to own Crew Dragon and the Falcon rockets that launch them. And he decided to – he's always wanted to fly into space. He's not an astronaut. He's many things, and he's an entrepreneur, and he flies jet planes just for fun, and he owns his own MiG. So he has a lot of experience piloting aircraft, just as an amateur, but he has always wanted to fly into space, so he purchased from Elon Musk the entire SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, which carries four people, and he's paying for all of it. No one said what the price is, but people talk about each seat on a SpaceX Crew Dragon being about $55 million. And he has chosen three other people to go with him. And all of it is wrapped up with his effort to raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. He's been involved with other charitable causes in his air races and everything, like Make-A-Wish Foundation, but he's decided that he's going to use this opportunity to raise awareness about St. Jude's. And one of the people he chose to go with him on this is a young woman who, as a child, was a patient at St. Jude. When she was 10, she had cancer. And she survived it, and she's now a physician's assistant at St. Jude, and so she's one of the other three people. And there are other mechanisms for choosing the other two, and so these four people are going to get in a Crew Dragon and be launched into space and orbit Earth for 2 or 3 days and then come back home.
So they're not going to ISS. They're going to orbit and have a great view for 3 days.
A great view, yeah, and I'm sure they're going to have a great time tumbling around in zero gravity and all the things that we like to see astronauts do when we watch them on television.
To your knowledge, will it be on television? Of course it's going to be on television eventually, but will it be live feeds? Do we know anything about their production value?
No, I haven't heard anything about them trying to provide live broadcasts from it, but that could be happening in the background. I don't know about it, though.
David?
Hi, Marcia. Do we know what the how much money it raised for St. Jude and what the two people, well, I guess the one person, paid for bidding to win the seat on the Dragon?
So there wasn't a bid for a seat on this mission. The bidding that's going on is for a different one. That's the Blue Origin suborbital flight. But on this one, the other two seats, one was chosen by a competition. Someone had to go on to a website that is owned by Isaacman that helps small businesses create websites about what their business is, and someone had to create a business website and then do a video as to why they should get to fly in space, and all of those entries were judged by a panel, and they picked this person. It's a woman, Sean Proctor. And the other seat was won by lottery. Anybody could contribute to St. Jude through the Inspiration 4 website, and they all went into a hat, basically, and they pick one out. And it turns out that the person whose name was drawn couldn't go, but he had a friend who had always wanted to go to space, and he gave his ticket to his friend.
Marcia, your sense, there's another upcoming all-private flight on a Dragon in January 22. Roscosmos sells seats all the time. We know that. Is there something new in the air? Is this more than money now? Is there a trend that you're sensing to go into orbit or to visit ISS, and it's becoming what I guess you would say the thing to do, the new. Is there a sense of that?
Well, I think that there is a money aspect to it, especially for Roscosmos, because for the past 10, 11, 12 years, they have not been able to fly tourists to space because NASA's been buying all the seats. And so NASA doesn't need the seats anymore because now SpaceX's Crew Dragon is flying and Boeing Starliner is going to get ready to fly. And so those seats have now become available to Roscosmos again so that they can sell them. And one thing that's different now is that they used to have one tourist going up with two regular cosmonauts. And on this flight that's coming up in October, it's one regular cosmonaut and two tourists. And they're going to do that again in December. So they're actually selling these seats, and I'm sure it's to try and compensate for some of the revenue that they're losing because NASA's not paying for these seats anymore.
So Roscosmos is in the business of being conductor of a train that goes up to Earth orbit. Are they visiting ISS in those for those missions?
Yes. And, of course, Russia started the whole space tourism thing on ISS back in 2001. It's been exactly 20 years since the first tourist visited ISS, and that was an American, Dennis Tito. And during that decade, they flew a total of 7 times, and one person went twice. So there were like 8 tourist visits, one guy doing it twice, and then a total of 7 individuals. And so they were paying Russia for these flights. But then, as I said, NASA had to buy all the flights between the end of the first decade and now. So now they can do it again.
David?
On the 2 Soyuz flights, is there any information on if the Russians pay the same as, say, the Japanese or the others that are on those seats? And if there are, I guess that's what I'm interested in. How are they pricing it, and do Russians pay the same price?
I actually have not seen anyone on any of these missions, whether it's Russian or American, say exactly what their price is. People are, you know, sort of guessing prices. The $55 million for the SpaceX, I think, actually came from a report about how much SpaceX is expected to charge NASA for the flight, but how much they're charging these other individuals, I haven't seen that revealed anywhere. And I've never seen the Russians reveal how much they were paying. You know, back in the beginning, people talked about $20 to $25 million, but that was, you know, 20 years ago. And the last seat that NASA paid for, which was last year, it was $90 million to fly on a Soyuz. But I have not seen the numbers released publicly for these tourist flights.
How far out are they looking, Marcia? I mean, are they plotting 22, 23 for flights? Is there that big of a demand? Do we have a sense of the business now?
Well, I don't know about the Russian side, but certainly on the American side, Axiom, which has arranged this flight that's going to go in January of 2022, it's called AX1. Because it's Axiom, and they already have another one getting ready to go now. They just announced yesterday that Peggy Whitson, the most experienced American astronaut, she has the most number of hours in space cumulatively than anyone, she's going to pilot that mission because she left NASA some years ago. And so they're looking at it, and NASA, from NASA's perspective, they feel that they can only accommodate 2 of these tourist flights per year. Because there's only so many docking ports, and these guys are supposed to be up there doing research and everything, so they feel they can only accommodate 2 per year. So the impression I get is there's a lot of demand, and, you know, the Crew Dragon flights are going to have 4 people aboard each of them. So there is it's more than just one person going up with 2 experienced or professional astronauts. There are more opportunities now, but I think the demand is pretty good.
We have a minute, David. Go ahead.
What do you hear about SpaceX selling more orbital tourism flights on the order of Inspirational 4, or maybe just make them straight commercial? I'm sure there's demand for it. Are you hearing anything about SpaceX doing that?
No. The only ones I've heard about are the Axiom ones, which are with SpaceX, but Axiom is sort of the middleman for it. And, of course, Axiom is doing this as an adjunct to what it really wants to do, which is to build a space station module that at first would be attached to the ISS and then ultimately would be free-flying.
In other words, a hotel. They're building a hotel.
Well, it could be a hotel or a research station. I think they're going to see where the demand is.
For visitors from Earth, space tourism. It makes
exactly.
It makes a great deal of sense, and there's money in it. And, of course, this is a growth business. Marcia Smith keeps spacepolicyonline.com. She has one particular posting dedicated to space tourism now, but these are the early days. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.